Thank you so much for inviting me for this talk. I was very excited to join this team. And since we are allowed to talk a little bit about self-disclosure, I'm going to tell you about this little story. 7 years ago, there was a conference, APHA conference in Boston. And at the time I was here, I was an assistant professor at BU School of Social Work, and now associate. And one day, I had three presentations in one day in APHA. And on my way to go home, my water broke because I was pregnant. And I had a baby that night. I was under so much stress giving three talks in one day. So we call him as APHA child. So his birthday is 2 days later. So the title of my study is Web of Pain. This study is about trying to understand suicidality and self-harm behaviors among Asian American women. Now, suicidal attempt and self-harm behaviors are called as parasuicide. And parasuicide is one of the most powerful predictors of the complete suicide. And when you look at epidemiological studies, 30 to 47% of those who had completed suicide had been engaged in parasuicidality. Therefore, this is very important public health study. Now, Asian American women are an interesting group of women because they are most educated group of women in the U.S. One in two Asian American women graduate from the college or they have a degree beyond college. And whereas one in three white women have college and beyond educational degree. Asian American women also, they are least likely to fall into the poverty, and they hold the most professional and managerial job in this country. So it sounds like they are doing really well, occupational-wise, and very successful at the school. But they are not feeling well. The growing evidence of epidemiological study shows that they have high substance use, high level of depression, and very high level of suicidality as well as self-harm. So now their depression symptoms are exhibited since they are very young age. So child and adolescent girls demonstrated that Asian American child and adolescents, they have the highest rate of depression across both race and gender. Even among the college students, Asian American college students are more likely to be depressed than other. And our study, we recruited women who are in college as well as beyond college. So they are a little bit older, young adults. One in three of eight young Asian American women suffered from moderate to severe depression. So imagine on the Commonwealth Street, okay, in Boston, there are so many Asian American women. One in three of them are suffering from moderate to severe depression. I mean, this is a serious public health problems. Now, let's talk about the suicide. Suicide among Asian American women, this group suicide rate is the most rapidly rising rate of the completed suicide. So between the time 2000 to 2009, almost 100% of the suicide rate increased. And when you look at the Cornell University, there were 55% of the complete suicide were done by Asian Americans between year 1996 to 2004, but at the time only 14% were going to 14% of the Asian were going to Cornell. So this is really serious. So researchers wanted to find out the predictors of the suicidality among Asian Americans. So what they have found, the most frequent predictor of the suicidality among Asian Americans were poor family communication. So it's a family dynamic. Now, so what is a real family dynamic? It encompasses communication style, and it talks about the degree of conflict and the quality of interaction between the parents and children. So it hones down to the real parenting style. So some study shows the association between parenting style and suicidality. So for instance, Martin and Wade, they found among Australian adolescents, there was an association between the parenting style, which was affectionate, controlling, and authoritarian, and the suicidality, suicidal attempt and ideation. And among Asian American adolescents, there were also some association between the over-controlling parenting style and the suicidality. But when you look at this parenting style, you know, what does it really mean by overprotectiveness? What does it mean by over-controlling or low warmth? Is it going to be the same meaning across the cultures? So what does it really mean by Asian American or Asian culture parenting? The most well-known parenting is the tiger mom parenting. You know what the tiger mom parenting is, right? So I was accused of tiger mom many, many times by my friends. You're not laughing? Because I'm an Asian mother, so people assume that I'm a tiger mom. Tiger mom is a weird exaggeration of the parenting style of Asian Americans or Asians. It actually, when you read the book, she talks a lot about training parenting. But the training parenting original concept or ideology is not the training parenting which Anna Chua talks about in her book. Actual training parenting, it really fosters the warmth and the relationship building and really careful guidance and constant and deep monitor between the parents and the children. But there is the training component. The training component is added and is really fosters because there is a really strong effort to organize a family hierarchy among Asian families. Korean parenting style can be described as 가정교육. 가정 in Korean is home and 교육 is education. So this is a home education. So it emphasizes the centrality of the family, also family hierarchy, as well as the role modeling. So the first child has to act in a way, and the women have to act in a certain way, the boys have to act in a certain way. Now, these concepts were really developed in China and in Korea. But we are right now dealing with Asian Americans who are living in America. So what would it be like, how would you describe the Asian American parenting in a real world setting among the immigrants? Sorry. So there's an ideology that is inherited, training ideology or 가정교육. But in training ideology and 가정교육, there is a particular emphasis on gender prescription. You know, girls are acting a certain way, boys are supposed to act a certain way. And there is such a strong emphasis on girls maintaining the stronger ties and traditional values. Now, but don't forget the Asian Americans, 66% of Asians living in this country are immigrants. So by that, what they mean is that they are struggling with acculturative stress, and there is a reasonable amount of the acculturation gaps between the parents and their children. And parents, they are suffering from the economic hardship, language difficulties, and they are also bringing the trauma or some sort of social economic problems that they had from their original countries. So when these factors are interacting with each other, there is parenting style may be altered, and it creates its own thing. So I call it as a black box parenting. So our study is really trying to understand the specific parenting style perceived by Asian American women who are engaged in suicidal and self-harm behaviors. And the next one, I really wanted to understand whether or not this specific parenting style experienced by those who had been engaged in parasuicide, whether that is associated with the identity formation, and whether the identity formation is also extended to be engaged in self-harm and suicidal behaviors. So the data set. We use a data set which was funded by NIH about 5 years ago. This is the fifth year of the study and NIMH. So eligibility criteria, they had to be single women, and they had to be between age 18 to 35 years old. And I was interested in Chinese, Vietnamese, Koreans, because those three countries, they are really heavily influenced by the Confucianism by definition. And they had to be children of the immigrants, because I was interested in the, you know, cultural effect on the family. And those who were living in the greater Boston area were recruited. Now, these are the areas, actually, this is not working. Oh, maybe it's so light. Okay, this highlighted area is the essential area that we got the most recruitment from. So out of 39, we got 39 cases of the qualitative, and 27 women were identified as a history of the depression and other mental illnesses. And out of 27, 16 women were identified as those people who had been engaged in suicidality or the self-harm behaviors. Now, notice this. So the most important thing is, to me, is that, look at this, 93% of these Asian American women who were engaged in suicidality were either were in the college or they graduated from the professional school. And also their mom's education is very high. 83% of their moms either graduated from the college or the graduate school. So we're dealing with a really very educated group of the people here. Now, result. So, do you remember the black box parenting? So we found the theme and we created a theory. We call it a disempowering parenting. So what does it really mean by disempowering parenting? I call it as a A, B, C, D, G parenting. A, abusive. B, burdening. C, culturally disjointed. D, disengaged. G, gender biased parenting. So this is the model that we created. So you're starting from the disempowering parenting, moving on to identity formation called fractured identity. So fractured identity has two aspects. One is a double bind, and the other one is a sense of never good enough. And it moves to the status of web of pain. Now, when you look at this, all this shows that these women have lived through multiple disempowered parenting style. So you can see that abusive parenting is a predominant parenting they have perceived, and followed by burdening and disengaged. And 50% of our samples reported cutting, and then these are almost 40%. Now, let's move on to abusive parenting. Since I don't have a lot of time, I'm going to be very quick. Abusive parenting. My mother was convinced that I was a slut. And she would constantly ask me these questions like, I know you're a whore. I feel abandoned by my parents. I thought, oh my God, if your own parents don't want you, what's wrong with you? Burdening parenting has three aspects. One, financial burden. The other one was the academic achievement, was a strong emphasis. It was like unbearable emphasis on academic success and marital success. And the other one was the obligation to take care of parenting and siblings. Culturally disjointed parents. This was a very interesting concept, because our women, they really wanted to be connected to their parents. So they were trying to learn Chinese or Korean, but that gap that they experienced between the parents and themselves is beyond the language. It was a mindset. Language was not the only thing that they were suffering from. Now, disengaged parenting style. This was occurred a lot between the daughters and the fathers. The daughter wanted to be understanding the father's issue. They wanted to have they wanted to build a relationship, but the father was there at the home. Physically, they are there, but psychologically, they were disengaged. Gender-prescribed parenting was also very, highlighting many times that there was a very strong gender prescription. Girls, you cannot have a sleepover, but her brothers were going to, have sleepover, have play this anytime, or you know, they can wear any kind of clothes. But the parents were, you know, controlling girls' behaviors in a really strong way. Now, double bind. Double bind is that once these women experience or live in this disempowering parenting, they develop something called double bind. Double bind is like this. So those two forces are fighting with each other. So one, Asian American women, they so want to be successful. They so want to meet the expectation of very high expectation to successful or perfect Asian American women. So I call it as a perfect Asian women syndrome. They wanted to meet with that. However, the other force is that they cannot meet that expectation because it's so painful. So they want to run away from it. And as a result, what they feel is never good enough. They feel like they try this, they try the other one, but they feel never good enough. So the web of pain, the cutting. Cutting was kind of release of tension. It gave me a control again. Or suicide attempt. I tried to hang myself once after a big fight with my parents about the guy that I was dating. But my father came home and found me tied to a rafter, already passed out. The next day I got the lecture about you are going to hell. But they were suffering alone. I didn't want people to know about this in the first place. I didn't like being out about it. So this story tells us the paradox of Asian American women who are suffering. They are highly educated, but they are feeling terrible about themselves. So the implication is that they really need to get these women more empowered. So the good news is that we received another NIH grant. This is another NIH grant to create an intervention to reduce the mental health and the sexual health problem of these Asian American women. So we got 3 years of grant. So first year is the intervention development, which we are doing right now. Next year is going to be a randomized clinical trial of 80 women, and the third year is going to be evaluation phases. Okay, so thank you.